Three spirits. There was the spirit of Christmas past, where he saw his life in the past. Spirit of Christmas present, what was going on around him this Christmas time. And then spirit of Christmas future. And usually this time of the year, I can't help but think about Christmas past, which when I think about Christmas past, I'm thinking about the first Christmas when Christ was conceived and then later born. Then I'm thinking about Christmas present, which is right now, and then Christmas future, which speaks about the time when Christ will come back again, and we're getting closer to Christmas future. And this morning, as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking about a war that has been going on between God and Satan. And it's been going on for 6,000 years. And for 4,000 of those years, Satan had won a great victory in the Garden of Eden by getting Adam to sin and bringing death and pain and suffering into this world and war and all the rest of it. And Satan knew that there was a king coming who would dethrone him. And he did everything he could do to stop him, but that king was born, and we celebrate that at Christmas 2,000 years ago, and his name is King Jesus. And when he was born, Satan tried to kill him. Remember Herod? He moved in Herod, and he killed all the babies 2 years old and under. He just wanted to kill that Savior. He didn't want a king to take his throne away. He had taken it from Adam, and he didn't want another man to get it back. And he heard about this person that was going to be born, a virgin-born Savior. Tried to kill him. Tried to kill him throughout his life, but Jesus kept escaping. He just couldn't kill him. Finally, he led the people, the Jewish people, to arrest him. They turned him over to the Romans. And he saw him killed, and he rejoiced. I've got the victory. But you know the rest of the story. He only spelled his own doom because Jesus won the victory. He was buried. He was in that grave 3 days and three nights, and Christmas passed. He came up again from the grave. We celebrate that at Easter. And Christmas future, he is coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to tie the devil up and put him down in the center of the earth, way down, 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 down. But right now, we're in a war. And Satan has a goal. It's been stated by the globalists, 2030. They want to rule the world. They want to have a cashless mark of the beast system to rule this world, and that's what I want to talk about today from Revelation chapter 12, this war that is going on and how Satan wants to rule the world, and he has Red China. He has so many nations under his power and under his orbit. Right now in Venezuela, there are warships all around Venezuela. It's not just for narco drugs. It's not just, you see, for the stuff that's going on that way. It is for the fact that China has paid Venezuela to take Dominion voting machines, Smartmatic voting machines that they used to get Hugo Chavez in, that they used to get Maduro in. And by the way, the lady right now that won the Nobel Peace Prize, she won in the election against Maduro, and they had to sneak her out of there, and the United States helped get her out of there and gone to Norway, and she's out of there. And Maduro is still there, and Trump is buzzing him with big bombers. And he's saying, get out of power. There's a war going on for the United States. Not just politically, but spiritually. And you're here today, and Christmas present, this is going on. And Christmas future, we know before the Lord Christmas future put put Satan away, that Satan eventually is going to take over the entire world and rule it through one man and through his Antichrist, who will promote the worship of that man by miracles, and Satan will rule this world. But he wants it now, and he's got to get America in order to get it now. By the way, Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. He's worth over between 400 and 500 billion dollars. Elon Musk just made a statement, and he has a lot of discoveries that could help bring in this cashless system. But Elon Musk made a statement, and they asked him, who made everything? And he said, the Creator. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for America. And realize that Satan, if he can get America, he can get the world and take over the world. And we have been praying for God to push back the enemy's timeline. And there was a movement of God called a MAGA movement, and they tried to put the man in jail, the president. They tried to assassinate him, and he was hit in the head, but it didn't penetrate. It went right by his brain, just took his ear and cut the ear. It didn't get him, but they wanted to kill him. Instead, they anointed him because his thumb, his right thumb, his right ear, and his right toe, when his shoes came off, followed what it says in Leviticus for the anointing of the man of God. And he was a man raised up by God to stop the globalist takeover of America so we could have our freedom. And then a young man was raised up, and there was another movement, not just a MAGA movement, but Turning Point USA. This man was truly a born-again man, and he was going on the college campuses in order to promote the truth of God about husbands and wives getting married, having children, and about the truth of God against the LGBTQ agenda. And right when he was being asked a question on September 10th in Utah, he was being asked a question, and he was on America Comeback Tour, first stop at the college in Utah, the university, and a guy had a .30-06 trained on him and hit him in the neck with the .30-06. And that bullet went down into his body toward the heart and fragmented, and blood came out everywhere. His security man that was there just kept stuffing gauze immediately from a backpack he had into that wound and stuffing it in. But that .30-06 took his life. Charlie Kirk gave his life to bless America. And the LGBT guy that shot had a boyfriend who was transitioning, quote, to a woman, and he said that he did it for him. What a wicked thing. What a satanic thing. And I'm saying to you that we are living in a time when there is a great war for America, not only the LGBTQ, not only the radical left that believes in secular humanism and evolution, but amazingly, they've gotten together with radical Islam. It's the watermelon, the red-green agenda, the red for communism, the green for Islam, and they're together, even though, can you imagine LGBTQ people working with Islam? If Islam gets power, they will kill the quote-unquote gays. And yet they're getting together. Why? Satan wants to destroy America, so that he can make us part of a one world system, a cashless system. And as soon as they get rid of all cash and everything is a central bank digital currency and it's controlled by the government, you will be under their thumb. You will be, the freedom will be gone. And Satan knows that. And so he is trying to destroy America so he can take over the world. But the Bible says all these things, we can understand they're going to happen. We're praying for God to press back the enemy's timeline. But we need in America not only the judgment of God upon these systems of evil and the people that are trying to destroy America, and we need it to happen in Venezuela, and we need it to happen in America, and we need to pray for that, but we need a revival in America to get back to God, to get to Jesus. And today you're here for a reason. You're not here to be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease. You're here so that you can know Jesus Christ and realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and He is the one that can save America. What we need, thank God for the MAGA movement. We've needed that. Thank God for the Turning Point USA movement. But what about the movement of the Holy Spirit in independent fundamental Baptist churches? What about believers? What about believers who are marching on the gates of hell? And the Bible says that those gates of hell, I'm losing my papers. The Bible says those gates of hell will not prevail against us if we go to war, if we march on them. And so today I want to talk to you about this morning about you may win in this war for America. And I'm going to show you one verse and how you can do your part. And I'd like you to look at verse number 11, and I'm going to read that verse. Verse number 11, it says, "And they overcame him," speaking of Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Now, this is talking about a time of Christmas future. It's a time when America, the whole world, are under the one world government. There's a cashless system. It's talking about a time right in the middle of the last 7 years before Christ reigns for 1,000 years, 3.5 years into it. And right at that time, there's a spiritual war in heaven. Michael and his angels are fighting against the angels of the devil. And it's Star Wars. Star Wars are angels fighting one another. By the way, the Star of Bethlehem is not a star in the sky. Stars don't lead people and stand right over a house and lead them to a house like that star did. That star was an angel. Angels are stars. I don't know if they have these lightsabers where they fight like, but I know there is a war between good angels and bad angels. And that was a big war in heaven. And Michael had 2/3 of the angels. The devil had 1/3. It was a fight to the finish. Finally, Michael prevailed and Satan was kicked out of heaven. You say, I thought he was already kicked out of heaven. No, he can go to heaven now and talk to God. He can wander the earth. He is still given a lot of latitude, and at that time he's going to be kicked out of heaven, and his angels, it says, with him, and they're going to come down to the earth, and there is not just going to be one image of the beast, and whatever that is, AI, I don't know, but it'll be an image of a man. It will be able to talk, identify people that don't follow that man, don't worship that man, and he'll be in the temple in Jerusalem, but he'll also, every person throughout the world will have an AI. You know, like today they have, what's that thing that a lot of people, Alexa? Do you know Alexa listens to you? Right now, these devices can listen to you. They're spying on you already. They're getting information all about you. They know where you've been on the internet. Eventually, it's all going to be tracked down, and this one man will be able to control all the technological geniuses, the Elon Musk types, every genius, the Zuckerbucks, the Zuckerbergs, and all these guys. They'll control them all. He'll control them all and be able to track everybody down. And the ones that don't go along with the mark of the beast, it'll identify that person and say, there you are, there you are. Arrest them, get them, get them. And the Bible says that during that time, it is going to be perilous times are going to come. Paul talked about it. It's the great tribulation time. It's the time just before Jesus finally puts the devil down into the pit. And he takes the Jewish Antichrist and the Gentile beast and puts them in hell. That's happening. Every day we're getting closer to that. But the question is, that's Christmas future, and the Bible says you can even win over Satan during that time, Christmas future, and here's how you can do it. But how about right now? We need to fight for America now. We need to win right now. Charlie Kirk was out there doing that, and the blood poured out of his body because Satan wanted to kill him. God allowed it. And I want to talk to you today about how you may win in this war for America. And I want to say first, you must win by the saving power of the blood. By the saving power of the blood. It says in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Satan likes blood. Satan wants the blood of believers. The first believer was a man called Abel that was born of Adam and Eve. And he was told from Adam, who God told him, because you've sinned, you need to take an innocent little lamb and cut its carotid artery with a rock and let the blood flow out and offer that lamb on an altar, and God will accept that, and that lamb's blood will cover your sin until somebody pays for it. You'll be saved on credit, Abel. Abel listened. He took that lamb. But his brother Cain, he was a farmer. He didn't want to sell his crops to Abel and buy a lamb and offer it. He didn't want to do it God's way. He didn't want to kill a lamb. He was too nice for that. He said, I'll give my crops to God and give him the best works I can offer. And Abel said, no, don't do that. You see, God's rejecting you and you're upset, but you're not listening to what God said. You need that lamb that points to the Messiah that's coming in. You need to. And he got so angry at him that he killed the shepherd, Abel. He cut his neck. He wouldn't kill an animal. By the way, you know, Hitler wouldn't kill animals. Hitler loved animals. He was very friendly to animals, but he killed Jews. And I'm saying to you that this individual, Cain, he wouldn't kill an animal and offer it to God, but he killed the shepherd. He killed Abel. He took his blood and it was running out of him, just like that man shot Charlie Kirk, and the blood was running out of Charlie Kirk. And his wife said, I'm just glad I didn't see that. What kind of pond scum would attack that woman? What kind of snail spit? Have you no shame, ma'am? It's satanic. And that same kind of pond scum attacks God's chosen people every chance they get because they're getting ready for the Antichrist and the beast who is going to want to kill Jews again and have a worse Holocaust. And it's time to stand up and to stand for what's true and for what's right. And God said that, yes, Satan is a murderer, and he got Abel killed and his blood shed. But God said that if you offer blood of an innocent lamb, you will get the victory over Satan. And Abel did, but Cain didn't. And I'm just saying to you that the Bible says that you can overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb is the one that came 2,000 years ago, and he came to save us, and he didn't come to save us by reigning with power over the world. He came to save us by letting Satan move Judas and move the Jewish people to reject him and kill him and shed his blood. And Satan thought he got the victory. By the way, when Satan had the blood of Stephen shed, he thought he got the victory. But somebody has said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And guess what? Satan, when he had them kill Stephen, who was witnessing and who was a soul-winning deacon, he actually was spelling his doom, because Saul got saved as a result of Stephen getting killed, and he became the greatest missionary of all time. I think of Charlie Kirk's widow, who said, "I want to see revival." Would to God there be a revival at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Would to God there be a revival this morning, and you would realize that Satan is trying to destroy America, and he's taking a martyr's life like Charlie Kirk. And would to God that God would raise up somebody that says, I'm going to fight against Satan. Using what? The blood of the Lamb. That Satan thought he would get the victory by killing Abel. Satan thought he'd get the victory by killing Stephen. Satan thought he'd get the victory by killing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he was playing right into God's hands. Here's what the Bible says. When Abel was killed by Cain, God said to Cain, he said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "I'm my brother's keeper." He knew he killed him. That guy had a smirk that shot Charlie Kirk. And no doubt there are other LGBTQ people that were with him in that. And Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And God said, "Your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." And he said, "I'm going to judge you." It cries for judgment. And you're not going to be able to be a farmer anymore. You're not going to be able to raise crops anymore. They're not going to grow for you. That's your judgment. You're going to be a vagabond. And you're going to wander all over the earth. That is your judgment. You're going to have a life sentence, Cain. Because your brother's blood is crying out saying, "Judge." But here's what the Bible says about the blood that Satan moved the people to shed when Jesus was here. It said, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Hebrews 12:24. You know what? The blood of Jesus was shed on that cross, but Jesus died, he was buried, he rose from the dead, and he took that blood, some of that blood, and he brought it through outer space into the third heaven when he rose from the dead. And he took that blood and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat before God in heaven. And you know what he sprinkled that blood there for? To pay for the sins of every person that he represented when he died on that cross. The Father gave to Jesus a people throughout all history, from every tongue, kindred, tribe, and nation, throughout all the world and throughout all history. And he said, "I want you, my son, I want you to let Satan kill you. I want your blood to be shed, and it's innocent blood. You've never sinned, and so you're going to pay for the sin of every last person that will believe in you in the future, or that has looked forward to believe in you, and you're going to pay for their sin. You're going to pay for their sin of unbelief. You're going to pay for every sin that they ever committed." By the way, I'm so glad all my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Washed away by the blood of the Lamb. I want to praise the Lamb and his blood, and I want to acknowledge that it's his blood that has saved me from Satan, that has saved me from hell. And you too, my friend, can be saved. Because God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass. It's not when you see the blood. We don't always see it. But when I see the blood. You know, God saw the blood shed for me before I was saved. And he saw that it paid for my unbelief and all my sin. The blood. Nothing but the blood. Thank God for the blood of Abel. Thank God for the blood of Charlie Kirk. Thank God for the blood of martyrs. But there's no blood like the Lamb's blood. There's no blood like Jesus' blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so it says that Satan knows that Jesus defeated him by blood. And every time Satan has gone to war with the disciples of Jesus by getting them killed, it always backfires. And I want to say that if you want to overcome Satan, make sure your faith is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he knocks you down, through the blood you can get back up. Because the blood is still up there. And when God looks at you, he looks at you and he has to look through the blood. And he sees you if you're a believer through the blood. Now, if you're not a believer, if you haven't repented of your unbelief and put all your trust in Jesus, just do it. And that settles it. That settles it. And you have the victory over Satan, because it's hard for Satan to argue with the effectiveness of the blood of Jesus, the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus. He can't do it. You see, that blood was his death knell. And that's why Jesus rose from the dead, because he defeated devil by the blood. But secondly, how can you win in this war for America, not only by the saving power of the blood, but by speaking out? It says in verse number 11, the second part, Revelation 12, and by the word of their testimony. You see, it's not just by being good that you defeat Satan. In fact, Satan's not afraid of you if you're being good. It's when you're doing good. Why do you think Charlie Kirk got shot? He was doing good. He wasn't just letting America go to hell while he watched football or basketball or something like that, although he loved sports. Charlie Kirk loved his teams. But that guy, he would have blown out his adrenal glands if he didn't finally have a Sabbath day of rest, because he was just going for God. You know what? One of the greatest sins of the church today is just for good men and women to do nothing. That's all we need for evil to triumph. Just good men and women do nothing. You might not be as eloquent as Charlie Kirk. You might not be as smart as Charlie Kirk and as educated, though he didn't go to college. Thank God he got self-educated. Was brilliant. But Charlie Kirk was willing to march into Devil State's University and in love confront young people with the truth of God about one man for one woman, and confront people with the truth of God about heaven and hell and the blood of Jesus, and confront people with what the Bible taught and talk to them about it. And he went everywhere doing good and speaking out. That's what Kent Hovind did years ago on evolution. He wrote to the newspaper and he spoke out and God raised him up. Listen, God is just looking for some Christians that are willing to speak up. for the Lord. It says they overcame him by the word of their testimony. You know, when they killed Stephen, he was speaking up and people were getting saved. And so they killed him because Satan hated that. But then Saul was raised up. But not only was Saul raised up as a great speaker and missionary, but the people in the church where Stephen was, the Bible says there was a great persecution. Everywhere they went out speaking the word. They told people the word of God. You know, we have a Thursday night soul winning training and help people that they can speak up. My wife doesn't like to drive at night in the dark when it's dark, and so she goes out Thursday afternoon, and she had Celeste the other day. I believe it was Celeste you went out with, and she went out and she went up to a laundromat because it was cold. I said, go into the laundromats, go into indoor. She went up to the laundromat with Celeste, and they were giving the gospel to two different men up there. And these guys were listening. I mean, she went through the whole gospel. When I got there Thursday night to go out and do the soul winning, I noticed in my mailbox the names, the addresses, and phone numbers of two men right up here on Margaret Street. And I said, the other visits I've got, I'll get them on Saturday, but I'll get those men tonight. And I realized when I got up there and I was talking to one of the men named Gabriel, and he got his roommate to come out and listen, and both those men prayed to receive Christ. But I realized that my wife was the one with Celeste that had been talking to him. And he was ready. Sarge was with me, and Sarge has visited them, and he set it up to bring them next week. They're supposed to come to church and follow those guys up. And thank God for a wife that goes out soul winning with students at RBCS. And thank God for Thursday night soul winning. And we have about 25 people from this church that get involved in a Thursday soul winning outreach. So they can learn to what to say, to speak out. You say, well, how can I learn? Just go by somebody that knows, and you'll learn. It's one thing to come to church and pray to God. We do that on Wednesday. It's one thing to come to church and hear the word of God. We do that Sunday morning and Sunday evening. It's another thing to come to church and go out. But the Bible says, and God said, if you're going to win the war for America, Charlie Kirk, he did it with Turning Point USA, how much more should Independent Fundamental Baptist do it? In and through the local church. Brother Bob Bajewski said he wouldn't on Sunday. He wouldn't go up and sell stuff at the mall. So the guy at the mall said, you can't go up. I got so angry, I was going to pray to curse that mall thing. And then as I was up there praying, I prayed, no, God, just open up a door for Brother Bob on Saturday to be able to go up there. And God opened that door. Brother Bob and his family go out Thursday night soul winning. They're there most every Thursday night. They're there Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. I'm saying, we're not going to overcome by hiding in the four walls. We need to get out there to march on the gates of hell. You say, what can we march with? The blood of the Lamb, which will prevail. I mean, Acts 13:48 said, as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believe. They will believe. The blood will see to it. The blood will conquer. March, though, and speak out. So you can win with the saving power of the blood. You can win by speaking out the word of your testimony. Satan doesn't want you to have a testimony of that you believe. But I believe. And I want to speak out. He wants you to add your testimony. So he tries to weaken you and keep you from that. But there's one more thing I want to say. If you're going to overcome, you do it by surrendering your life. Look at Revelation 12:11 C. I'll read it. By surrendering your life. It says there in C, and they love not their lives unto death. You know what? Too many people love their life in this world. Charlie Kirk, he lost his life in this world, but he's alive. Eric Slobodnik lost his life in this world, although I very well believe that Eric Slobodnik could have been translated out of that Bradley vehicle before he died. I don't know if I can say it, but they never found any part of Eric's body. And his dad always prayed, save him from fire. I'm just saying to you, we have in the Bible a man that was translated, Enoch. He walked with God and God took him out and he didn't die. I'm just saying to you, my friends, that when the rapture happens, God's going to transform us and take us out, some of us, before we die. But Eric said this. He said, I would rather die from something than for something. Let me say that again. I did it wrong. I would rather die for something than from something. You know, we're going to die from cancer, from stroke, from this, from that. But I'd rather die for something. I'm just saying that we love our lives too much. And I have found out that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're called to be a walking dead woman, or a walking dead man, or a walking dead teenage boy, or a walking dead teenage girl. You are called to be a walking dead person. Paul said, I die daily. I find out that for me to live for Jesus Christ, I have to die daily as far as my flesh, my sinful nature, my old nature. I have to nail it to the cross every day. I died Thursday night. Instead of doing what I would want to do in my flesh, I went out with Sarge and we did what the Lord wanted us to do. It was cold Friday night, but I died and went to Tunkhannock. I had a great time in Tunkhannock. We sang, what was that song, Patty, you wanted to sing on that wagon? That, Oh Holy Night. Yeah. And Brother Eric led, and we were singing, man, and we were having a blessed time. People were looking, but I had to die to my old self to live and do what God. You do too, Jose. Jose drove people up there from my class and helped them out. Elgin Gano has to die to put lights in. All these new lights are put in. Elgin put them in, right? Under Deacon Joe. Deacon Joe, he lives by dying daily. I'm talking about surrendering. Not only the saving power of the blood, not only speaking out, but surrendering. That's how you win. You surrender. It's not the yielded life, as my old teacher, Reginald Matthews, said, who was the seminary teacher up at Baptist Bible Seminary. He was a pastor for many years. He said, it's not the yielded life, it's the yielding life. We need to keep surrendering. The problem with a living sacrifice is it tends to crawl off the altar. Matthew got up Saturday morning and he thought, do we have to do this again? Yeah. Go to prayer. Go out and do bus ministry. But he did it. He did it. You see, it's not your ability that counts. It's your availability that counts. Too few people are available. The great general who was top of his class at West Point, he was so smart. His name was General George McClellan, the head of the Union Army. And meanwhile, the Confederates were kicking the Union all over the field and beating them up. Why? Because McClellan kept drilling the army to make them better. but he wouldn't take them and fight. And finally, Abraham Lincoln said, I wish the guy would use the army to fight. You see, the reason why Ulysses S. Grant, who was a dime store clerk, won the war was because he was willing to take the army and fight. And he lost soldiers, and they got hurt, but he kept coming and coming and coming and winning. You can win if you won't quit. You can win if you won't surrender to the world and the devil, but every day you'll surrender to Jesus Christ. And if you fail to surrender, repent of that and get back up and surrender again. Some of you need to get back into Thursday night. Some of you need to surrender to get baptized. Some of you need to surrender to say, I can't save myself. I'm going to trust the blood of Jesus Christ and that alone. And every time Satan comes to me and points to me, I'm going to point him right to the blood. Say, can you find any fault in the blood of Jesus? You can't. You're beat. Oh, listen to me. If Christmas future, when it's the worst of the worst, called the Great Tribulation, we can overcome through the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, by speaking out, by the saving power of the blood, and by surrendering. If we can do it then, you can win now. But will you do? Will you do that? That's the question. And you know what? We need to do that. We need to surrender. So that right now, we can win over Satan. He wants you to be a walking dead man or woman. And you know what? During that time, the Great Tribulation, there are going to be two kinds of Christians. Actually, three, but it'll boil down into two. One, if there's going to be three, one will be compromising Christians, and they'll wind up not taking the mark and getting right. By the way, are you living with somebody and you're not married to them and they're in your house? You're in fornication, you better get right. I don't know, but God does. But there are going to be some compromising believers, and the Bible says when it comes to taking the mark, they're going to get caught. And they won't take the mark at the last minute. They'll die and go to heaven. But they won't be prepared. They won't really be spiritually prepared. There'll be another group of believers. They will be prepared. They'll say, I'm going to die. I'm going to surrender my life. If the Lord wants to take me, he'll take me. They're the Smyrna church people. They're going to die. But there's going to be another group of believers. They're called the Philadelphian believers. And they've passed the final, they've passed all their tests of surrendering. So they don't have to take the final exam and give their life. God's going to supernaturally protect them. By the way, you see that even in Israel where Jesus said you go from one city to the next and keep preaching the gospel. And they'll never get you until the Son of Man comes. And then there'll be a group of people that will be supernaturally protected right during that time. But they're willing. Like Charlie Kirk was willing. You may be willing and God will protect you. You may be willing and God will let you have the martyr's crown. The important thing is that you're following Jesus, living a surrendering life. May God help you to overcome and win the war for America. Do your part. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about three things, the saving